Well, good to see each one of you this morning. If you could turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to be looking specifically at verses 1 through 11 this morning. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. We're going to kind of glance at, get an idea of this entire Proverbs, the context that we can get from it that is applicable to us this morning. But Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, as we get into Proverbs and you open the book and you've done any kind of study in that, you could summarize the book of Proverbs by saying it's a collection of wise sayings. You could simply just say wisdom. As throughout the book, wisdom is the main topic. The title of the message this morning is Finding Wisdom. If you are in search of wisdom, trying to gain knowledge and understanding that goes beyond just the head knowledge and apply it to our lives, where are we going to go to find wisdom? There's many people in the world today that are trying to gain more knowledge and understanding. And maybe in their definition, they would say they're trying to get wisdom as well. What about you? Are you seeking wisdom? Where have you gone to find that wisdom? We think with our education system in the world as it is set up now, most every single person here has been to school for at least a little bit of time, some longer than others. Maybe you have had just an elementary education. Maybe you've gone through a middle age, a junior high time, or all the way through high school. Some have gone and taken an upper level, a college career course, maybe just an associate's degree, maybe the full four-year bachelor's. Some have gotten master's degrees. Some have gone on and gotten doctorates. There's all different levels of education. In fact, you don't have to ever stop taking classes. There's an infinite number of classes and courses and degrees that you could get if you so desired. Some people are lifetime students. But how much does that cost? What is the financial cost to us? I was looking at some numbers the other day, and on average, and there's always going to be variables here, regardless of private or public or whether you homeschool or whatever route you take, a K through 12 education can cost roughly on average between $3,000 to $15,000 a year. On the lower end, you could have $3,000 if depending on the place that you go. And if you go to public school, obviously you don't pay for it directly, but we pay for it with taxes, and it costs something for someone. Someone has to pay for it. But the average cost for that is $3,000 to $15,000 per year. You get into college, and that price goes up, and you're paying anywhere from $10,000 to $40,000 a year on average. Now, there's some schools that you could go to that would be much cheaper, and there's some schools out there that are infinitely more expensive than that. But just for a ballpark average, I wanted to get the point across that it costs a lot of money. And that people are willing to pay this money in search of knowledge, in search of gaining information and having that wisdom. But as Christians, are we seeking wisdom? Are we seeking the wisdom that is from God? It's not wrong to seek out this wisdom of the world and to gain knowledge and understanding in many different areas. It can be very beneficial. And to succeed in life, often we need to continually be improving. But as Christians, that should pale in comparison to our desire, our zeal for seeking out the wisdom that we find from God, that we find in His Word. As we get to Proverbs and we see this topic of wisdom, and we see as we worked through Proverbs 1, if you've gone through that passage before, you see wisdom begins to get personified. It's kind of seen as a woman that you're seeking after, that you want to learn, that you want to grow, that wisdom is something to be desired. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 2 and read together verses 1 through 11 as we begin our time this morning. We'll pray and then dig into this passage. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can find wisdom that's available to us, that your wisdom is what we should be seeking after. I pray as we work through this passage and the conclusion of the time this morning, that all of us would have a desire to seek wisdom, to apply it to our lives, to live daily in it. Lord, I pray that we would have a passion to grow in our knowledge of you. Lord, that ultimately our desire would be to seek you. Lord, I pray that we would keep you as our focus first and foremost. Lord, I thank you that we have salvation as a result of your sacrifice. Thank you that we can be here because of that. Bless this time now. I pray that everything that is said and done would be to your honor and to your glory. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. I pray that we would grow in leaps and bounds during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 2 begins with this title, this introduction of my son. We see that this is written as a father's plea to his son. This is very specifically written to a young man and some warnings and some instruction that are applicable to it. We see these warnings come about in the remainder of the chapter that we're not going to spend the majority of our time this morning, but I want to look at those as it is important to understand what was so vital that this father is warning his son about. This plea that he makes to his son is to beware temptation. And this temptation that he would face was going to come from two sources. The first one being from the evil man. You see where we just left off in verse 11, beginning in verse 12, it says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. He's warning him of this evil man, of men, of individuals in life that you will meet that try to deceive you, that lead you astray, that try to work a quick deal with you, that might steal from you, to avoid these people that are very clearly out for only their own gain. Very applicable and practical advice that I hope every single one of us has heard. To beware of these people that are looking to take advantage of you. His first warning is that temptation of the evil man, but the second one here we see in verse 16 is to beware the strange woman. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Understanding that this is written to a young man, he is imploring him to beware the temptation of this temporary satisfaction specifically related to sexual temptation. The desire to be fulfilled in a way that is not biblical, that is not how God intended it, is going to be tempting to this young man. It's going to be tempting to all of us in one way or another to beware of this evil woman, to beware of the mentality, really, to follow after this easy, seemingly worldly sexual gratification. His warning to his son here is to avoid those that would lead him astray. And he tells him that he needs to seek out this wisdom as he begins in Proverbs chapter 2. But folks, understand, as he is writing specifically to this young man, there is application for every single individual here this morning. Now specifically, if you're a young man here today, I hope you really take notice. Because this passage is so specific to you and to each one of us. As we consider, what should we do when we are of wanting to avoid the temptations of this world? When we're wanting to not fall in with the evil man or the strange woman? When we're not wanting to identify with the pleasures of this world, how do we separate from it? How do we seek out the godly wisdom that the Lord has for us? This is what we see in the beginning of this chapter. These principles apply to us as we seek this wisdom. First of all, we see in verses 1 through 4 the conditions to finding wisdom. These conditions for if you truly want wisdom, how do we find it? Verse 1 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." The first two verses here give us the idea that we are to actively listen for wisdom. That if someone is teaching us, instructing us, whether it be God's word itself, or someone, a preacher, a teacher, a parent, someone that we respect is giving us this wisdom, we should be actively listening. I don't know if you've ever been instructed in how to actively listen. My parents told us this as kids a lot. And it is important to know that you would think like, well, listening, you can listen. It's amazing to see, though, how you can listen. You can appear to be listening, and you don't receive a single thing. I had many, many times in school where I was really good at that. You could be sitting there. I could have my eyes open. My ears would be open. I'm looking right at the person. And then an hour later, I have no idea what just happened. I think we've all been there. There's been times where it looks like we are really engaged, but something else is going on in our mind. We're thinking about what we're going to have for lunch. We're thinking about who we're going to see the next day. We're thinking about the project work that we have to accomplish. We have the homework that we're needing to work on. We have this game that we're going to go play. We have these friends we're going to connect with. Folks, there is a never-ending supply of distractions that want to creep in and take away our attention when we should be receiving wisdom. We all know what that's like. We all understand those difficulties. But what the author does here is he gives us really three kind of ideas of how we can show we're actively listening. The first thing is, in this step here, is to listen. Now, that might seem obvious. The first step to listening is to listen. But how often is somebody teaching and giving us wisdom and we don't even do the first step? We're not even actually listening. Maybe we're talking to somebody else. Maybe we are allowing our thoughts to go away to where it may look like we are, but we're not actually listening. See, the first verse here, "If thou wilt receive my words," you have to receive them. The only way you can receive the words that are being given to you is if you're listening, if you're wanting to receive them. The first step is to actually make sure we are listening when wisdom is being taught. But then he says at the end of the verse, "And hide my commandments with thee." So not only are we to hear it, we are to hide it in our hearts, to memorize it, to meditate on it, to actually receive and listen, but then imprint it on our lives, to memorize these instructions, to meditate on them. But then he continues in verse 2 and he says, "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." The third step of active listening is to actually apply it, to decide in your heart that you're going to apply it. How much easier is it to receive wisdom and to know what to do with it when as you're listening to wisdom, you begin to think through applications direct to your life? Someone is preaching a sermon. You're sitting in a lesson at church and Sunday school. You're reading through the Bible as you're going. One of my favorite things to do as I am spending time with the Lord is to write down in a book or in a note or something if I can think of a direct application to my life. Sometimes God's word is very direct to my life. Or there's other times where there's a principle that I know I could apply to my life. Are we taking the time to apply the wisdom to our life and be prepared for those times when we can apply it? Folks, if we're going to actively listen to wisdom, as this author, his father, is writing to his son, we should also take the same mentality to make sure we are actively listening. Folks, make sure that we are listening well. But not only do we need to actively listen, this first condition, the second condition that is given here in verse 3 says, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding." We need to sincerely desire wisdom. It's one thing to come and to sit in church and to give off an appearance of wanting wisdom. I would hope that's what we're all desiring. But as I alluded to earlier, not only sitting in school, but I've sat in church many times. And though I may be there, my presence might say I want wisdom, I leave time after time after time again, and I don't remember what wisdom I heard, much less how to apply it. Folks, do we desire that wisdom? Have we decided in our life that we want wisdom in our life and that we want to know how to apply it? He gives the idea here, if you cry after knowledge, you lift up your voice for understanding, you're not just passively sitting back hoping that wisdom all of a sudden comes upon you. You're crying after it. You're saying, I want that in my life. I want to find where that wisdom is. I want to be digging into God's word. I want to be listening to it as it's preached and as it's taught. I'm not just going to wait for it to happen. I'm going to be seeking it out. I want that wisdom. I want it in my life. And if I think I've gained some, I'm ready for the next bit. I'm ready for the next amount of wisdom. I'm never content with the wisdom that I have learned. I always want more. Folks, are we seeking in the same mentality that verse 3 says here? Are we crying after that knowledge? Are we lifting up our voice for understanding? Or are we content with a 30-minute message on Sunday to get us through the entire week? Or are we content with, well, I spent a couple minutes in God's word this morning. I don't need to think about it anymore. I need to apply it. Have we set limits on the wisdom that we are taking in? Are we seeking after it? Do we desire it in our life? But then the third condition that we see here in verse 4 says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. What should be our mentality? And once we have decided we want wisdom and we're crying after, we're looking for it, is that mentality of looking for something as you would look for a missing prized possession. You've lost something that is dear for you, and you desperately want it. You're going to do everything you can to find it. If you've ever lost a wedding ring or something else equally valuable, your phone, you know what it's like to be looking for that thing. If you are like me, when you leave your house, you always try to make sure you have at least three things. That might be different for ladies, add a purse in there, but that might be beneficial because your purse might contain everything you need for your existence. You have your phone, you have your keys, and you have your wallet. Those are the three things that I always make sure I have. I always end up having much more than that. But if I have those three things, I know I can get through the day at least. How many times do I forget my phone or I forget my wallet? I usually don't drive away without my keys. That's one that's helpful right there because I can't drive without them. But I many times will leave one or the other. And I always come back and always walk in the door and say, like, hello, family, I'm back. I know I've been gone for 2 minutes, but I'm here again. And yes, it's either my phone or it's my wallet. But if you've ever misplaced one of those things and you've been searching for it and you can't find it, it's very frustrating. You're searching for that thing as you would this really, truly prized possession. The analogy given here is someone that is seeking for silver, someone that is looking for something that is extremely valuable. It's as you're looking for hid treasures. There's been many treasures that have been sought throughout history. Many large amounts of value that have been buried somewhere, that have been lost in a shipwreck, that somebody has hid. I was reading an article a while back about this guy who hid this treasure chest somewhere up in the Rocky Mountains and left some clues in a poem or in a story that he wrote. And for years, people have been looking for it, and many people gave their lives. They died in search of this. Somebody finally found it not that long ago, but consider the amount of cost and time and effort, blood, sweat, and tears, and actually lives that were lost as they were seeking for that treasure. Why? Because they were motivated. They wanted something. They saw the prize at the end of the tunnel that they just needed to find. They're passionate about it. They were wanting it. They desired it. They were willing to give everything in search of it. Folks, are we as Christians passionately seeking wisdom? Are we looking for it with that same eagerness as when we lose a prized possession? Or we are looking for a buried treasure? Do we have that mentality in us? If we want to find wisdom, these conditions that are placed here is that we need to be listening for that wisdom when it's being taught to us. We need to have that desire in our lives for it. And when we have those, we need to be passionately seeking it. Are we content with where we are at and the knowledge that we have and the wisdom that we think we have? Or are we seeking for more? Are we constantly desiring to grow in our knowledge and understanding of the Lord? Folks, because what happens then? When you have those conditions and you seek out those and you follow them, we see in the first four verses, what are the results of finding wisdom? What happens when we get this wisdom, when we're continually seeking it? Verses 5 through 11 show us these results. First of all, we see that we gain understanding of God and how He works. Verse 5 says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Folks, when we gain that wisdom and we find wisdom in our lives, we first of all, we gain that understanding of God and how he works. If I were to tell you that there is a way we could know something about God, that we could learn about him, I would hope we would desire it. Finding wisdom does that for us, because then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. God gives us this wisdom. Verse 6, as it told us, he gives that wisdom. Out of his mouth comes the knowledge and understanding that we should be seeking. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. I know what it's like to seek wisdom, to seek knowledge and understanding, to find many different sources to go to gain understanding. And how many times do I skip over the one source that I should go to first of all? God's word, going to the Lord himself. And if I am seeking after that wisdom, he gives us that understanding of who he is and how he gives us that knowledge and understanding. But even more than that, verse 7 and 8 give us the idea that he shows us how he works and how he cares for us. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. We see this truth even more cemented here in Isaiah 41 as Isaiah is being spoken to by the Lord, and God is promising to him these blessings and these truths about him, these timeless truths. Isaiah 41, 10 through 13 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Folks, the same God that was speaking to Isaiah is the same God that we serve today. That same God that promises to be near us in these difficult times of life, as he promised to be near Isaiah and to strengthen him in the difficult times of life. We know that he was there for Israel, that he is still there for Israel, that he is there for us today, folks. Are we going to him, though? Are we seeking that wisdom? Are we trying to gain an understanding of God and who he is and how he cares for us? Many times it's easy to get confused in the ways of this world and confused about how things are taking place and to begin to question God. And we talked about this many times, as we see in Psalms, where David is asking these questions, but he comes back to understanding who God is and understanding how he is working. Why was David able to do that? Because he was seeking wisdom. Because he was one that was right after seeking the Lord. He was always desiring to become closer to him. He was a man after God's own heart. He sought that wisdom, and therefore, as he went through those times of questioning, he went through those times of confusion, he was able to come back to the point where he knew who God was. He was able to see what he was doing, and he could then trust in him. But folks, back in Proverbs chapter 2, we see not only as a result of wisdom gaining an understanding of God and how he works, but secondly, we see we learn how to make the right choices in life. Now, hopefully, this is really kind of like what we're thinking about as we're seeking wisdom. Wisdom itself helps us kind of, in its description, know that when we come up to a choice, I'm going to either choose what's right or what's wrong. I hopefully, displaying wisdom, am going to choose what is right. And this is a byproduct of finding that wisdom, is knowing how to make those right choices. Verses 9 through 11 say this, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." Wisdom gives us clarity in life decisions. Wisdom helps us understand what we should do and what we should not do. A little bit of a lead-in to what we're going to be looking at tonight as we're looking at questions that we should ask as Christians when making biblical decisions. We need to understand the importance that wisdom plays in this. Proverbs 16, 1 through 3, a few chapters over, says, "The preparations of the heart and man and the answers of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." That little phrase there in the middle where it says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes." If we're left to our own devices and we just make our decisions based on whatever ethical system we are going off of, we're always going to be like, "Yeah, that was the right decision. This is what I should be doing." This is why the world rarely has remorse for how they act. When you're unsaved, you're going to act as the unsaved. That's why there's sin out there. That's why there's continued sin. That's why there is not a change of behavior. That's why no system out there can ever have a long-lasting effect unless it is centered on God's word and the wisdom that we find in it. There's people that can find help in different systems and social work and all those different things that can have a temporary solution. But I can guarantee you for sure it does not have an eternal solution that is found in God's word. Folks, we need to be able to go to God's word to get that wisdom because it is the only eternal, lasting solution. The Lord weigheth the spirits. If we commit our works unto the Lord, our thoughts shall be established. Folks, if we are seeking the wisdom we find in God's word, our thoughts, our ways are directed before us. And we can have that clarity in those times of confusion. Then Galatians chapter 5 says, verse 16 and 22, we see that making the right choices brings pleasure. Galatians 5:16, we're commanded to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, we could say, is synonymous with walking in wisdom. Because the wisdom that we get from the Lord is that wisdom that we should be seeking after, that we see displayed by walking in the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit, the second one, is joy. If we are walking in the Spirit, there is going to be a difference about you than your average person in this world. Joy is not something that we see as a description of most people, especially these days. There's a real true lack of joy. Even as Christians, it's easy for us to get all down and upset about what's taking place and sad. And where's the joy? We're not going to be able to have joy in our lives if we base it on our circumstances. Because in case you haven't noticed, this world is not getting any better. This world is waxing worse and worse. We shouldn't be surprised by that. But if that's the truth, why then can we have joy? We can have joy by walking in the Spirit, by having that wisdom that is going before us, that when we make right choices, when we're walking in the will of the Lord, we can have true joy. But then lastly, we see that making the right choices brings preservation and protection. As his father is giving these last commands about wisdom to his son, he says that discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Turn with me lastly this morning to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians in chapter 6. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 6. I was looking back and forth between my two notes here. Galatians chapter 6. Oh, I know what I did here. It's Ephesians chapter 6. Just keep turning. You're almost there. We'll find this together. It's all good. Exactly right. I'll just preach another sermon from Galatians 6 sometime. Ephesians chapter 6, we see here the command as we're considering fathers and sons and children. Ephesians 6, a very commonly known passage, starts with "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." This is when a child can begin to demonstrate showing wisdom in their life by following after what their parents are doing as they seek the Lord. And then more than that, they're to honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. That the quality of the life, that the longevity of life, not only here on earth, but through eternity, is good, is long. Folks, this son that is being challenged here, that as we, as the children of the Lord, are being challenged as well, we need to make sure that we are seeking after these things because it promises to preserve us and to protect us. If you look down at verses 10 through 12, familiar to us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The wisdom that God gives us also applies itself to that protection. To when we're making these decisions, we're not making them in our own strength, we're making them in the strength that God gives us. Verse 11, we see that next section of Scripture in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. That protection that is given to us, we are displaying wisdom by putting on the armor of God. We're displaying wisdom by waking up every morning realizing we are in a battle. We're displaying wisdom by saying that I'm not just going to sit back on the sidelines and hope nothing happens to me. I'm going to be actively prepared for this battle that I am in the middle of. Folks, if we make the right choices, if we display wisdom, we're going to desire to please the authorities in our life. We're going to desire to ultimately please God, and we're going to desire to be protected and preserved in the strength that God has given us. Folks, wisdom is what we should be seeking. Wisdom is something we should desire, and as we consider ourselves alongside of this son that is being challenged to avoid the evil man and the strange woman specifically, what challenges are you facing in your life this morning? What things can you say, yes, you know what, I need wisdom in my life. I hope it's every single area of your life today. I hope that as we consider the different aspects that we are facing and the questions that we're working through, that we'd say, I need more wisdom. And I need that godly wisdom. I need the wisdom that goes beyond what I can ever hope to know in my limited knowledge and understanding. Folks, are we seeking true wisdom today? Is that a desire of our heart? Are we wanting it as much as we would look for buried treasure? Are we wanting it as much as we look for that prized possession? Folks, if we want it and we're seeking it, and we have found it in some degree, are we applying it as we live our lives? Are we looking for situations in our life that we can say, I need wisdom here and I'm going to apply it today? Folks, this wisdom is available to all of us as we seek God. As we seek our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who should be our focus every single moment of every single day. As we consider that sacrifice that he gave on the cross, as we consider the salvation that we have through him, I pray that each person here this morning has accepted that free gift, realizing that they can do nothing to save themselves, but that salvation is available to them because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Please do not leave here today just feeling good about yourself and that we can get through this together, because folks, I'm here to tell you that we have a community of believers here that we can get through this together as we seek the Lord. The only way that we are going to find true strength is by seeking him. And if you have done that at the moment of salvation, continue that through every day of your life. Folks, if you have not sought the Lord for salvation, don't leave here today without having that secured in your life this morning. Come and talk to me. Talk to someone that you know that you can talk to about this. We love to open up God's word and show you how God loves you individually. God cares for you. He has a plan for you, and he wants to use you in a great and mighty way. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you that we can have wisdom, that it's available to us. And I pray as each person here hopefully is thinking about a situation in their life or multiple situations where they need wisdom, Lord, I pray that they would desire in their hearts to seek it. And that when they find it, that they would apply it. That they would not be content to just live in their own knowledge and understanding as limited as it is, but that we would continually be growing in our knowledge of you and the wisdom that we can find in your word. Lord, I do pray, if there is anyone here this morning that does not know you, that have not found you to be their personal Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, if they're asking the question, what must I do to be saved? Lord, as your word says, they need to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be saved. Lord, I thank you that we can have that salvation. Thank you that we can have wisdom. I pray that we would seek it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could turn with me.